WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program on Thursday morning, a rainy Thursday, a cold Thursday. It's kind of chilly here in the studio, but if you're heading out, make sure you bring a jacket. It's going to be warmer later. It's going to be in the mid-50s, actually upper 50s, but it's just going to be rainy and dreary. So, hey, that's April. Because April showers bring Mayflowers, and what do Mayflowers bring? Pilgrims, right? I already made that dad joke once this week, I think. But I think every time I think of April, and especially when it rains, I think of the old Looney Tunes cartoons. If April showers should come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May. But, you know, can you even watch those anymore? They took them off Max. Who knows where to find them now? But you might have heard Mike Roberts mentioning in the news earlier that Fox just, well, actually, they reached this deal back in, I think, November, but they just announced it because they held off on making the announcement because of everything that was going on with the LA wildfires and all that kind of stuff. But Fox just announced that they have signed a new 4-year contract with Disney Animation, which I guess is the branch of the, because, you know, it's weird now, Fox and Disney are the same company, but there's different divisions. And so Fox signed a deal with the Disney Animation Division, which now oversees some of Fox's animated programs. So this 4-year deal means 4 more seasons of Bob's Burgers, of Family Guy. So congratulations to New Bedford's own Amir Zarif, who gets to play Cleveland Brown for 4 more seasons on Family Guy, which will be approaching 30 seasons. I think this takes it through season 27. The Simpsons, which this deal will take it through season 40. And American Dad, which will be returning to Fox after, I think, an 11-year hiatus. 11 years of not being on Fox. It was on TBS. And honestly, I stopped watching it when it went to TBS because I thought it was just reruns. I didn't realize that TBS was putting out new episodes. So I guess I have a lot of American Dad to catch up on, but it's coming back to Fox as part of this deal. Because I guess TBS canceled it, so Fox is going to take it back. But these will only be 15-episode seasons. Now, normally, a network television show is 22 episodes. That was always kind of the classic number. But as we've learned in the binge era, the streaming era, you don't need 22 episodes to have a season. Some shows are 4-episode seasons. So what they're doing is they're finding that if they work with a shorter number, then they can run more series. So Fox still has a couple of other animated programs that it produces itself, like Grimmsburg and Krapopolis. I haven't watched either one of those. But this way here, Fox can still produce those shows, and then Fox gets to keep the money on all the overseas distribution and DVD sales and all that. So they want to make sure that their shows still get on the air too. But I think they know that those 4 shows are kind of like the anchors of its animation. Simpsons, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, and the returning American Dad. So not only do we have Amir Zarif, the New Bedford native who's on Family Guy, but let's also give a shout out to Eugene Merman, who's on Bob's Burgers, who visits New Bedford and comes antiquing here. He was at Purchase Street Records last year. and who I've, you know, communicated with and said he always thought that Bob's Burgers took place in New Bedford, but then found out, you know, later that it didn't. So it seems like the changing TV landscape is making, you know, Fox, let's say that they're hedging their bets and making sure that they've got these anchor shows that they know people will still tune in for. And that's why they're giving them 4 season extensions. I mean, a show like The Simpsons, to give them 4 more years when it's already been on the air as long as it's been, you would think that'd be a year-to-year renewal at this point, because how much will people still want to do it? How long will the voice actors, and they've got, I guess they've got to get some of the voice actors under new contracts. And also, Julie Kavner is having more and more trouble creating the Marge Simpson voice. I mean, this is something that's been documented, you know, the years of putting that strain on her voice to do that voice. And she sounds more like Patty and Selma when she does Marge now than she does Marge. So what do they do about that? Do they, obviously, you know, they're not going to want to recast that role, but is there something they can do to kind of help a little bit technologically? Can they have her speak in a regular voice, in her regular voice, to save her the strain and create an AI filter that turns it into the Marge Simpson voice? Maybe that's something that they have to do. And as long as they're upfront about it, you know, as long as they say, hey, we're going to be utilizing this technology to help, then I think that would be okay. It's not like it's taking away the creativity. Just helping with the physical strain that Julie Kavner goes through of creating that voice. And people who complain and say, the Simpsons haven't been funny in years, you know, they still have their moments. I still watch the episodes. I fell behind like 4 seasons. And then when I was out with my surgery for my kidney last year, I just binged through, because they weren't full seasons. So I was able to just kind of binge through and get caught up. But so anyway, little TV news for you. In some more serious news, WPRI and their Target 12 team, Eli Sherman and Tim White, have an amazing story. Very hard to believe, but nothing surprises us anymore these days. Story out of Fall River. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the New Bedford police chief with the Boston Globe Spotlight series, but WPRI has a report on the former Fall River police chief, who has now been fired over having unregistered guns in his locker and leaving threatening items in his desk. So I don't know how much you kept up with the saga of the Fall River Police Department, but Paul Govin was removed as chief. He stepped down as chief, but was still working in the police department. But now he's been fired. Mayor Paul Coogan confirmed to Target 12 that Govin was fired Monday after an outside investigative firm submitted a report that found that Govin committed 15 department violations and recommended he be terminated. Coogan said the report has also been forwarded to the Massachusetts Attorney General's Office and the Massachusetts Post Commission, which oversees police officer standards, but no criminal charges have been filed. But the investigators wrote in this report, former Chief Govin is responsible for intimidation, workplace harassment, storing unregistered firearms in the FRPD, unduly compensating himself for time worked, and several other FRPD policies, procedures, and codes of ethics. They wrote that this conduct was unbecoming of a chief and any member of the Fall River Police Department. And one of the most alarming findings that Target 12 writes about here is that when Govin stepped down in the fall and returned to his previous rank of captain, and as they point out, amid internal strife with police unions and his successor, Police Chief Kelly Furtado, I'm sorry, he was having internal strife with the unions, but his successor, Kelly Furtado, saw this as a threat, what he did. He cleaned out his entire desk, which then became her desk, cleaned out the desk, except for two items. He left in there a bullet and a knife. That's it. Everything else was cleaned out of the desk, except when you open the drawer, and there's a photo of it in the story on WPRI.com, there's a knife and a bullet. And so Chief Furtado said she took the bullet and knife as a threat. She described her relationship with Govan as tumultuous and had filed a harassment complaint against him earlier in her career. This is what she told the investigator. She said, "I was like, are you kidding me? You know what that means? You're a backstabber and you're going to get a bullet." Now, Govan attempted to downplay the meaning of the knife and the bullet, telling the investigators it was mistakenly left behind and it wasn't uncommon for officers to leave behind items for their successors. He also took a shot at Furtado and anyone else who found them to be threatening. And this is what he apparently said to those investigators. "We're always dealing with guns and knives and ammunition. It wasn't a big deal that you saw one of these things. Certainly not something that would frighten any Fall River police officer who's worth a salt." Now, that even got Govan's close personal friend, Mayor Paul Coogan, to say, "Yeah, that's just going too far." And it says that the investigators did not buy Govan's version of events. They wrote, It is worth noting that former Chief Govan was not leaving these items for a friend. Former Chief Govan's action of leaving a bullet and a knife in the desk drawer was clearly an attempt to threaten, intimidate, and harass Chief Furtado. Also in the report, they discovered that he had kept unregistered firearms in his police locker. Three firearms were improperly stored in the locker room, and they were found when cleaning it out. A .25 caliber Beretta, a .380 caliber Davis Industries, and an antique Harrington and Richardson. And then he gave inconsistent stories to Fall River police officers and outside investigators about why the guns were there. And then when they confiscated them, he was asking, "Hey, can you get them back for me?" According to Target 12's report here. And they're like, "No, we can't do that." And he's like, "Come on. You can get them back for me." And he claimed that he just forgot they were in the locker for over a decade. And then there was also instances where he cashed out on 40 hours of compensation over a 3-year period, even though he claimed it was a mistake and that he'd returned all the overpaid on-call hours. The investigators wrote his claim that he never received payment for these hours was also not truthful. So, I mean, I guess we're not the only South Coast city that has problems with allegations against the police chief. Now, you heard Chris say he's been talking with Holly Huntoon about trying to get New Bedford Police Chief Paul Oliveira on the program before his retirement coming up in May. We're a month away. It's a month from today, I believe. So if that's the case, I'm sure they're going to make that happen relatively soon. But I also wouldn't be surprised, and I guess we have to, because here's how I see it playing out. I think what's going to happen is when the chief retires, he may make an announcement then that he's suing the Boston Globe. Again, I don't know anything about this. Nobody's told me anything, but I think he would have every right to try to do so. But he may not want to be announcing that while he's the acting chief. Well, while he's still the police chief. I shouldn't say acting chief. That's a different position. But while he is the police chief. And then the downside of that is if he does come on with Chris, and that is the plan, he's probably not going to be able to address things directly. Because if it's going to be ongoing litigation, he's not going to be able to say much. But I do think he should come on and talk about, you know, the stepping down and future plans and, you know, take the victory lap of retirement. And also, you know, reflect on his career. But I would also understand if he's pursuing legal action and can't say much about that. And that's probably why we haven't heard any direct quotes from the chief himself in any of the for the record stuff. Don't forget, as much as we are excited about the launch of Money Talks, your first code coming up now in less than an hour, we're also still giving away tickets to see Kylie Minogue at TD Garden on April 9th. You can enter to win those now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. They're brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. And if you have if you're a fan of Kylie Minogue or know someone who is, I'm pretty sure that's going to be a night for dancing in the garden. So you can enter to win those now, and we'll draw our winners. We had four pairs to give away, so we've still got tickets to give away today and tomorrow. And you could be the winner going to see Kylie Minogue thanks to Stevie's Wine and Spirits. All right, I've got to take a break here. You know what? Let me take this call before I take the break because I don't want to make them hang on. We'll pushing it, but we'll do it. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Yes. Did I hear you correctly? Victory lap? Come on the radio and take a victory lap?
Well, I was using that. That in the sense of when somebody retires, you know, they come back and reflect on their career.
Are you serious? It's a yes or no answer. Are you serious?
It's not a yes or no answer. I just explained to you what I meant by it.
Have you read the Spotlight series?
I have.
The award-winning boss. Oh, you have?
Yes.
And you think he's going to take a victory lap?
I just explained to you why I used that word.
Well, let me hear it again. Please paint the picture for me.
What I said is a victory lap, so to speak, that somebody would do when they're retiring and reflecting back on their career. I was speaking in a broad general sense, not in Chief Oliveira's case.
Reflect the victory lap. There is no victory lap.
So let me ask you this. You believe everything that's in that report then?
Every single word.
I'm not saying I don't. I'm just asking you.
Yes. And just because Fall River has the same problem has nothing to do with us. The chief of police in New Bedford is a thief. The mayor just renewed his contract for $200,000 a year. Both of those guys should retire immediately. Why that chief is still on the payroll is beyond me. And the people in New Bedford.
Do you think it's necessary to actually, you know, have him have his day in court before you can say those things?
Oh, he's going to have his day in court. Trust me on that. You have yourself a good day.
All right, you as well. All right. Listening comprehension is a bit of an issue this morning. I get it. It's early. I get it. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's the way I'm speaking. Maybe I've got to speak a little clearer. All right, let me take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Forbes' new billionaires list has been announced. Amazon making a bid for TikTok, and Mega Millions tickets prices are going up.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Democratic officials are suing to stop $11 billion in public health funding cuts. 23 states and the District of Columbia filed a lawsuit against the Department of Health and Human Services, asking for the cuts to be temporarily paused. They argue the administration made the cuts unlawfully without analyzing the benefits of funding or possible consequences of removing it. A Trump-appointed judge is hearing the case today. President Trump is announcing new global tariffs, calling it Liberation Day for the U.S.
He said companies can avoid paying tariffs by making their product in America.
My answer is very simple. If they complain, if you want your tariff rate to be zero, then you build your product right here in America, because there is no tariff if you build your plant, your product in America.
The tariffs cover a wide range of products and are targeting several countries, including Canada, Mexico, China, and the European Union. Trump said there will be an immediate 25% reciprocal tariff on all foreign-made automobiles. I'm Brian Shook.
The cost to play Mega Millions lottery will be going up soon. Lisa Taylor has the details.
Price of a Mega Millions ticket will go up to $5 following Friday's drawing. Officials say the price increase will lead to faster growing jackpots and better odds. Every prize will also now be worth more than the cost of a ticket. This is the first price increase for Mega Millions since 2017. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Amazon is reportedly making a last-minute bid to buy TikTok.
The New York Times reports the e-commerce giant submitted the bid via an offer letter sent to Vice President J.D. Vance and Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. Saturday is the deadline for China-based ByteDance to sell TikTok or the app will face a ban in the U.S. Lawmakers have expressed security concerns over the app's connection to China. Tech giant Oracle and private equity firm Blackstone have reportedly been in talks of possibly buying the video app. I'm Matt Mattinson.
The White House is reported to be looking at what it would cost to control Greenland as a territory. Nick Harper has details.
The Danish-owned but autonomously run island is a target of President Donald Trump, who says it's vital for U.S. security. According to the Washington Post, a cost estimate is being drawn up that would include providing government services to its population of just 58,000 residents.
Sources say the administration is also estimating how much revenue could be gained from Greenland's natural resources, including rare earth minerals. The Post says that one plan is to offer more money than Denmark to subsidize Greenland's services. Fox will keep The Simpsons around until at least the end of the decade. The network announced yesterday it has ordered four more seasons of the long-running animated series. That will take it through the end of the 2029 season. That will be the show's 40th. The Simpsons first hit the airwaves in 1989. Fox also gave four season renewals for animated shows Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, and American Dad. A new report shows nearly half of Americans say they're stressed. At least 47% of people tell Talker Research that they're in a constant state of worry. And with that number, 62%, even higher for millennials and Gen Z. One in 10 survey respondents say that they have a designated worry time. It allows them to reduce their anxiety and allows cut downs from the amount of times that they worry throughout the day. At least 30% of people find themselves worrying at night just as they get into bed, with one third of respondents say that they start worrying when they're alone.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox beat the Orioles in Baltimore 3-0 last night. Those two teams back in action at 105 today. It was the Celtics over the Heat in Miami last night, 124-103. The Suns travel to Boston tomorrow, and the Bruins take on the Canadiens in Montreal tonight at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
It's pretty dreary outside, scattered showers around and clouds hanging low. And while it is going to be an overall gray day, it won't be a washout. Just be aware of a few scattered showers throughout the day. And then later tonight, a cold front comes through and that's going to drive some pockets of heavy rain, but that's pretty late, hopefully after you're cozy in bed. We're talking about 9:30, 10:30, even 11:30 or so. Now, the good news is later today in the afternoon anyway, temperatures are in the mid-50s. We could see a couple spots trying to get up towards 60 degrees. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schell. Hoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Just go ahead.
Welcome back in. Let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Saffiolos.
How you doing?
Good. I'm doing really good. But let me say something. You just started yelling at that poor guy that was on the phone about the chief should get his day in court. Is that what you said?
No, I asked him if he's willing to convict him of those things before he's had a day in court. That's what I asked.
Okay, that's what you said. Okay, let me bring up something. How come you wasn't like that about me when I didn't get my day in court with Linda Moore when it's on tape and everything, when they dismissed the case without calling me in?
I've never treated you as guilty of anything.
Excuse me?
I've never treated you as being guilty of anything.
No, I know that, but you should... They're going to do whatever they want. Did you hear me yesterday when I called with when the chief was there?
No.
Oh, you didn't, huh? I had him tongue-tied. He didn't know where he was going. Listen to the tape when I called just before they went off.
All right, my question to that listener was if that listener was willing to convict the chief of a crime before he's been even accused of any crime. I should say charged of any crime. That's what I was asking that listener.
Well, why don't you ask me the same thing?
Because nobody's ever said that you're accused of a crime.
No. Ask me the same thing about
the chief. Are you willing to convict the chief without him being charged and having a day in court?
He's guilty as hell. Okay, you can see it and you can read it and everything. Everybody out here. I mean, I told it. You're trying to tell me. I know. Let me calm down a minute. The mayor is an honorable guy. Okay, the mayor, Paul, put the wool over his eyes like crazy. Not only once, but twice. The stuff that he done. And then he reappointed him after he tried to go to Falmouth. He tried to sneak out of the city. And you know all the stuff that's coming on the radio now, you know, about them, is they're trying to divert what happened. They're not talking about what really happened. The guy did all that. I've been saying that for
years. They just hired a firm to investigate to see if those things happened. So they're probably keeping their powder dry on that until they have the results of that investigation.
Are you kidding me, Tim? Come on. You didn't read the one I gave you about the Chinese driver and the naked woman in the cab.
Right, but I think that they're not going to come out and say we're paying all this money to have this investigative firm come in and take a look at this and then also be like, but we already think that it's true. You know, they're going to wait and see what the results of that investigation are before they make any kind of comment on that.
Tim,
now when that investigation wraps up and if they find something, then let's see what they have to say.
Did you listen to every article?
I did. I have about 10 minutes to go in the latest episode of the podcast. But other than that, I read all the articles and I listened to all four parts to completion. And I have to finish the fifth.
Okay. I listened to the fifth and everything. And I knew stuff before that. Do you realize that the police department, you have people that the mayor, which I supported, and I think, like everybody says, he's a nice guy. Yes, we know, but he's not going to say, oh, yeah, my boy that I wanted, Paul, to be the chief. He was a lieutenant. I made Joe Cordero put him on the job. He actually had another captain for the position, and he asked the guy. This is the mayor. He asked the captain, you got to take Paul with you. He says, I'm not taking him. He's no good. And you know what the mayor told us, that captain? Well, you don't have the job, okay? And I'm saying that on the radio with everybody. I even have Joe Cordero call me. The mayor wants me to take Paul with him. That's why all that department was like going into the toilet. Don't believe that, you know, the mayor can be thinking, he can be a real, he's a smart guy. But please. Everybody knows it. All the why do you think all those other chiefs didn't apply for the job? And why did they put two people that live out of the city? At the time, he was supposed to be a resident on New Bedford. Why did one live in Dartmouth, the other one in Westport? The best police officer in the past five chiefs was, what was his name? Jesus. I said yes. See, I am getting old.
We all are, Gilly.
I know. But, and you know, I mentioned who he was going to pick. I called him on a couple of weeks ago about the search thing. He already did. The guy that he was going to put, and I said, I'll give the name to Chris. I said it to the mayor right on the radio. Okay, B-Law. Okay, that guy is straight as anything. He worked his way up. Okay, but don't listen to the mayor, please, people. Everybody, he is a nice guy, but, you know, it's getting to the point where they're picking at straws. He didn't know what was going on. He can't be that smart if he didn't know what this was all going on.
Well, and then he hired him. You think this was a surprise? You don't think that he knew this?
Definitely, you know something? I think he was blindsided. Okay, but the second time around, he had to know.
Well, okay. I mean, I'm just going to throw this out there, but there's been a lot of talk about, you know, well, the chief conveniently announces his retirement when he hears this report is coming out. What about maybe the mayor heard this report was coming out and said to Chief Oliveira, what's this all about? Chief Oliveira told him, and the mayor said, you know what? I think maybe you better retire.
If that's the case, why didn't he say that?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just spitballing here.
Listen, if that's the case, like they say, you know me, bottom line is then why doesn't the mayor say, listen, I screwed up. Be truthful with us. Don't try to put the wool over our eyes. We're all stupid out here.
Because I think if that was the case, he might be able to say that after he's no longer employed. But I don't think he could say that while he's employed. Just, you know, due to employment laws.
Why wouldn't you want to defend yourself, Tim? And why retire so you can get your pension?
I don't know. I mean, he did it to the fire chief. So, I mean, you know, your point is taken.
That's all the thing is. You know what I mean? That's why when I say, I told you so, people, I'm the one that got thrown out of New Bedford. And I'm the only one that kept everybody on their feet.
All right,
I told the people. I had proof. Like I said yesterday to the mayor, he was tongue-tied. Listen to when I called in. He didn't know what to do.
Well, with that, I got to hold you because I got to take this break here.
But don't tell people, let him have his day in court, because the days in court, they only take care of who they want to take care. I took Naomi Connie to court with proof, with a confession letter, and I didn't win. They won. With Linda, they didn't even give me the shot. They didn't win. They do what they want. They control the courts, too.
Okay. I got to hold you there. You have a good day.
You too.
All right, caller, hang on. We will get to you in a minute. I've just got to get this break in. We'll be right back. And let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I am not Gilly Sapiolis.
I just wanted to put that out there. I could tell by the fact that you didn't identify yourself as Gilly, like he always does when he calls.
It's interesting to me just watching and listening to this stuff, this drama that's going on in New Bedford with the cops. There's a great amount of socio-political inbreeding in New Bedford, which is interesting. You're being an outsider. I've lived in New Bedford. I lived in New Bedford for 20 years. But growing up outside of that, I'm capable of seeing it for what it is. You know, like, just different life experiences, being in different areas, seeing how different areas work. These people, it's like people are, I don't know, they've been going to see a therapist for 20 years, so that instantly makes them qualified to be a therapist themselves. I think that, if that makes any sense to you.
Well, I mean, so you're talking about the way that the way the callers are reacting to it, or are you talking about the
yeah,
okay,
in general, people, what it boils down to is people get tired of getting busted for doing, you know, for breaking the law or doing dumb stuff. So they get tired of it. They get tired of getting busted for drugs or whatever. So they hate the cops. Okay. You know, you got to face the reality of it at some point. Hey, listen, you know, you stay out of that life, you stay out of trouble, and you won't have any problems with the cops. That's it.
Well, but I also think you've got people who probably have never had any issue with the police, but who are looking at this saying, I have an issue with the police department in my city operating that way if these claims are true.
Well, they're cops. Let the cops do their thing. There was a video that came out a couple of days ago. I don't know if you might have seen it. Maybe you didn't. But a cop pulls up to Temple Landing in New Bedford on Kempton Street. And there's a couple of guys mouthing off to him. And, basically told him to F off, get out of here. Just completely being disrespectful to the cop. And that kind of encapsulated the bad attitude that people have toward the cops. Just be respectful. Let the cops are doing their jobs.
But does it count as doing your job if it's true that, you know, the chief is letting somebody keep a kilo of cocaine because they brought in another kilo for him? Or is it them doing their job if, you know, they seize $30,000from a drug bust but only report $2,000 and pocket the rest? Is that something you'd be comfortable with because they're doing their jobs?
No, weed that stuff out, you know.
Well, and that's what callers really are concerned about. That's what these calls are about, because that's what the reporting is.
Yeah, but you can't paint that. Those are individuals doing those things. So you go after the individual. You don't attack the department as a whole, because it's not the department as a whole that's got the problem. It's the individuals. So deal with them, you know.
But I guess the counter argument to that is it the department as a whole if this was going on 30 years ago and nothing was done about it? So is the rest of the department complicit in allowing that to happen?
I don't know. I don't just looking at it. From my perspective, I don't think that the department is as bad as people are making it out to be.
Well, and I would definitely agree with you on that.
All right. You have a good day.
You as well. Yeah, I mean, I agree with his point that it's, you know, it is a few bad actors within the course of the department. But also, you know, you have to understand the people who are concerned about this being something that runs through the department is, you know, why was nothing done? If you have cops that are telling the Boston Globe, I did tell people about it and nothing happened. You know, that's just as bad as them doing the actual stealing of money or distribution of drugs themselves. So that's why people are concerned about it. And I think people who are paying for a police department, who now have to pay more for a police department because they had to increase the salary in order to attract candidates. They had to create the sign-on bonus. So now it's costing more to pay for the police department than it was before. Then people have a right to be concerned about, you know, is this on the up and up? I don't think you need to be somebody who has run afoul of the police department to have concerns if these accusations are true. But also to the caller's point, you know, that is something that you see quite often where, you know, people who have had trouble with the police are naturally going to be against the police. Like there's very few people who have committed crimes who turn around and say, you know, but the cops were good people and they just, you know, I was the wrong one here and they were just doing their jobs. Like that doesn't usually happen. 508-996-0500. I've got to take one final break here before the end of the hour. All right, that's going to wrap up this hour, but we're going to come back with another whole hour with you, 508-996-0500, app chat, and open.